Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna. I'm fascinated with the topic that we have today, healing the rift, bridging the gap between science and spirituality. Today in our world, some people would say science is a religion as far as many individuals are concerned. My guest today, Leo Kim, is a fascinating man. Leo, I want to welcome you to the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Leo, you are a scientist yourself and a biotechnological executive. You have written a number of scientific publications and developed patents. You have studied with some of the leaders in the field of metaphysics, understanding the mind, dealing with spiritual perspectives of our world and time as it is known today. You have a PhD in physical organic chemistry from the University of Kansas. You also continued your education as a research associate at MIT, and you currently are the CEO and general partner in a biotechnology venture capital firm where you are really interested in advancing the levels of science to, I would say, a higher positioning and making this world a better place overall. With all of this background that you have, with all of this knowledge that you have been able to work with, you started off apparently in your life with this passion. You came in with a love of curiosity, of anything that was out of the ordinary. You were an experimenter. What made you decide to explore the aspect of spirituality along with science? How did this all come about?
Well, yes, I got my science credentials, and I was involved with clinical trials. For a while, I thought I was at the top of my game, being involved with the latest biotechnology leads for better healthcare and dealing with cancer, using the body's own defenses rather than poisons, or the typical cancer chemicals back then, where the hope was killing the cancer before you killed the patient.
Mm-hmm.
Then, upon seeing a number of patients die, young and old, I asked two questions. The first question is, would the science really teach about the big questions, such as, where did we come from? How did the universe begin? What is life? What happens after death? And I realized that 99.99% of scientists, even PhDs, they don't get a training in this. They don't get any background in this. So I studied that area, such as cosmology, quantum physics, theoretical physics, to try to get a better understanding from a science perspective. But I thought I might be missing a dimension, the spiritual dimension. So in an obsessive fashion, for about 3 decades, I devoured anything spiritual or religious. And what I found is that in the 21st century, in my opinion, this will be known as the century of the mind, which fits your show very well, because
mm-hmm.
science and spirituality is coming together.
You speak of a patient in your book right at the very beginning, in the
uh-huh.
very first chapter. Her name was Doris, and this woman had a tremendous impact on you. Tell us how her dealing with cancer and the results affected you so deeply.
Yes, I was at a UCLA 10 West bone marrow transplantation unit, and this woman, and that wasn't her real name, but she had leukemia, and she had a 100% chance of dying if she didn't try bone marrow transplantation. If she tried it, she had about 1 chance in 4 or 1 chance in 5 of surviving. So she took the chance. And my good friend was running the clinic, and he's the second largest bone marrow transplantation unit in the world. And I had the privilege of meeting the patients, the doctors, and the regime. And in seeing her, she was so bubbly, so full of energy, that, you know, I leaped to the conclusion, ah, this one's going to survive. And basically, you know, as a smart aleck kid, I realized later that, you know, we don't have all the answers. We really don't understand all of these things that happen, the tragic events of our life. So that really catalyzed my spiritual quest.
Mm-hmm. And when you learned later that she had died, that it was a shock to you.
Oh, absolutely.
This positive, vibrant woman.
Yeah, you know, I think Bernie Siegel talks about it, and I think you know about it very well in terms of what you do, is sometimes life gives you a wake-up call.
Mm-hmm.
And that was mine. That was mine that really sent me on a 3-decade search of science and spirituality.
Now, we know that if anyone has studied Eastern religions, that the explanation of everything being energy has been very commonplace for all of whatever else may have been put on as with a costuming of words. When you dig past a lot of it, which happens in every culture, it happens within just about every religious organization that there is, somebody seems to need to add more and more stuff. Well, when you get down to the bare bones, they will talk about this energy, whatever description they choose, that's everything. That's everything is a part of this phenomenal flow. Now, you came up with a word that I was intrigued with, upixels, and maybe it's upixels. I don't know. You'll need to tell me the exact definition. What is it? UPIXELS.
I pronounce it upixels. And what I wanted to do, because scientists have not come to agreement as to what the basic constituents of our universe is. And so everybody is familiar with TV screens and computer monitors, and everybody is familiar that the smallest piece that makes up the image that creates the world of the television or the world of the internet or the computer is a pixel. So I coined the term, whatever makes up our world, these tiny little energetic entities, are universal pixels. But rather than use that long 2 words, I shortened it to 1 word, upixels.
Mm-hmm. I like it. I think it's great. I've never heard of this from anyone else, so it's an original with you. When you are talking through your book about various things like the gram positive bacteria, you talk about leukemia, cancer, how it results from abnormal cells and uncontrolled cell proliferation. You are putting this in a chapter you title Life. And some people might say to you, well, these things aren't necessarily really life forms. What do you say?
Well, that's an excellent point. Scientists have not come to terms in terms of agreement on some of the big questions. And what is life and what is consciousness are 2 words and 2 terms that there's not scientific agreement on. We don't know. All we can define is the kind of life that we experience on this earth with our definitions.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of metaphysical people would say that everything is life, that we're living in an energetic universe. And I think as I build through the book, through a step-by-step for the layperson, an understanding of what science doesn't know and what faith it takes to be a scientist and what things are in science are based on faith, we begin to learn that the scientists have not answered the big questions. And mm-hmm. the book, Healing the Rift, is really about empowering people, about letting people know that here in the 21st century, this is the century of the mind, and that science has now proven in the 21st century that brain doesn't create mind. Mind creates brain. What we think, we become. And our thoughts are so empowering. We don't have to be shackled by things that happened to us in the past, be it dysfunctional, be it whatever trauma led us to be who we are today. We don't have to continue with that life. We can change our minds, and when we change our minds, we literally rewire the brain at the neuron level, and by doing so, we can change every one of our 50 trillion cells at the DNA level.
That is absolutely incredible when you think of that. And as you said, using the same word, it is an empowering aspect. In fact, when you can shift into that, just in being able to repeat it in your own mind on a conscious level, being mindful of those words, that enables you to recognize that maybe you have options to work with that someone else is not going to be aware of. And when you become aware of that, then if you hold on to that and keep that there may be some fascinating things that occur.
That's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. It's been shown with clinical trials that the powerful drug Prozac doesn't work unless the person knows they're taking it. Otherwise, it doesn't work any better than the placebo. Therefore, even powerful drugs need the cooperation of the patient's mind for healing.
Now, that is a powerful statement. That is such a powerful statement. And for anyone who hears the show, to think about that it is the power of the mind that makes the medicine work.
That's right. It's not the brain, it's the mind. And the explanation for the placebo effect, which has cured more people than all of the candidate drugs ever put into clinical trials, is the power of the mind thinking that whatever they're taking is going to help them. There's many famous documented cases in the literature where somebody was given in a double-blind trial where neither the physician nor the patient knew whether they're getting a placebo or the candidate drug, where they were given a placebo, didn't know it, they were cured of cancer. And in the early days, the physicians would sometimes tell them, oh, you know, that's really strange, you're cured, because you got the placebo. The patient was devastated, the cancer returned. Now,
mm-hmm.
there's one famous case where that happened. The physician told him, oh, that's interesting. You got the placebo. The cancer returned, and the physician felt so bad, he called back the patient and said, you know what, I'll put you on the drug. And the patient was so happy. Well, the physician knew that the drug failed, so he gave him back the placebo, and the cancer disappeared again. Until the patient read that the candidate drug failed. And then
Amazing.
He got his cancer back and he died. That is extremely illustrative of the power of the mind.
It is. It is a fascinating, fascinating aspect of the human character. And there are so many stories throughout history where people have willed themselves. They were in excellent health, and the next thing you know, they're gone.
Yes.
And they have, I mean, we're all going to pass away. These physical vehicles we're in are just temporary chassis. This is my opinion. But you have people that will feel like their value in life has ended. They have no purpose. They don't have a right to live, whatever the reason might be, and they die.
That's right. There's many examples like that, and there's even the the dark shadow of the placebo effect called the nocebo effect, where if somebody believes they're taking something that's going to harm them, it does harm them. And as you say, if somebody really wants to die, and that's been documented many times, they could be in perfect health and die.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about the 21st century now. There, I've been lobbying for 2 decades for, the vast majority of my physician friends, they would like to see what I've been lobbying for. That is scientific studies and clinical trials which show the power, healing power of the mind. And you know, physicians would love to spend more time with patients, but the insurance companies will only give them a couple of minutes per patient. Now, if there were clinical trials and scientific evidence that shows if the physician will spend more time with the patients and help them empower themselves in the healing process, that this would lead to lower health care costs, more effective use of medicines, and
mm-hmm.
diagnostic regimes. And we are just beginning to see this. As of about a year or 9 months ago, there's been an increasing number of scientific studies that have been focused on this, and even clinical trials. There has even been a scientific study that shows how certain mental exercises could rewire the brain so that somebody that's elderly, say 65 or 70
mm-hmm.
years old, could actually restructure their brain to that of when they were 40 or 50. Now, there's studies going on trying to figure out the kinds of exercises needed for dementia, such as Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
And when these studies come through and really show the healing power of the mind, and people can spend more time with people to empower them, then we're going to see a dawn of a new age in healthcare. And I've been involved in the side that tries to deliver diagnostic and drug regimes, but I really want to see people empowered to make all of these things work with their own mind.
Well, I think what is happening today is
mm-hmm.
that people are questioning, and we have on many levels become, I would say, more aware of how certain things are not what they were made out to be. And this is on multiple levels of life, and we're questioning. So when we're talking about healing the rift between science and spirituality, I think it is talking about how communication is becoming more integrated, and we're realizing that you cannot separate the spirit essence of someone from the science of absolute facts, or whatever we think are absolute facts, which are constantly changing if we're really honest about it. But we are there almost, not quite, because establishments have not been willing to let go of their paradigms, but they're being forced because of the advancement of technology. Science itself is actually forcing this to move forward. Am I wrong?
You're right. And one of the reasons in my chapter on healing that I quote the book by Strauss and Strauss, this is a physician who studied history and tried to come up with a book that listed in the order of importance the 100 greatest medical advances in history. And when I read that title of the book, I thought, wow, I wonder what it is. Is it penicillin, x-rays? Wonder what it was. It turns out number one made all the other 99 possible. Number one was, at different times, at different places, the healers went from scorning the patient to compassion and love.
Mm-hmm.
Now, without that compassion and without that love, all of the other 99 are not possible. In other words, moving from fear to love was the greatest medical advance in history.
That, I think, is something that is so significant. I think Catherine Kubler-Ross brought that emphasis out with death and dying. The woman
mm-hmm.
brought to the forefront you are going to be dealing with death, and there is going to be the aspect of the dying process if you're fortunate enough to have that happen. But it is compassion. It is understanding. It is caring, because life needs that. And when you don't have it, when you make it a sterile environment, nothing has a chance to even breathe. It suffocates.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And as you know, one of my last chapters, second to the last chapter, was on afterlife. And I think most people are surprised that the two 21st century peer-reviewed scientific studies that was actually directed towards afterlife. And a Dutch cardiologist spent a 12-year clinical trial and then published it in the journal Lancet on cardiac arrest. And this is when people stop breathing, have a heart attack, the heart stops, and after 8 seconds, no more blood supply to the brain shuts down. But the people still could remember. Hundreds of people could remember what happened when they were brain dead. And they, and then upon revival, they can remember it. So again, it changes the paradigm of brain creates mind. You and I know that we live in a universal, the universe has a mind. And mind creates brain. Mind can rewire brain. Mind can change our bodies. And this is but more evidence to support that.
The greatest stories I have ever read, and there are so many of them, about people living their experiences in life, going through devastating situations where they're never supposed to walk, they're not supposed to do this, they're not supposed to do that, and they prove them wrong. I think of a story that a friend of mine, she went to visit a girlfriend, and she was living in California, and her friend had had a very serious automobile accident, was in a coma in a hospital up in Canada. She gets on a plane, goes up there. The family is just beside itself. She's been in a coma, deep, deep coma, for a long time, and they're just devastated. They don't know what to do. They actually called our friend because they said, if we pull the plug, she may not be here, so maybe you want to come up and say goodbye. She goes up there. What she does, she asks the family if she could spend some time with this friend in Canada in the hospital room. And they said, certainly, we respect that. And so what she did, she had a conversation with her friend, who's the patient, and I'll call her Pam for the lack of another name, and I'll call our friend Carol. So Carol goes into the hospital room, sits down next to Pam, and starts talking to her. Now, nothing on the machinery is registering anything, but she is registered as being alive because of the life support system. And so she talks to her, and she said, you know what? You can, when you're ready, you can go ahead and let go. But I need to tell you what's going on with the family. So she lays all the information about what's going on with the family, and some of her final words to her friend, laying in this bed that supposedly is brain dead, she said, you need to know it's okay if you want to leave. If you want to pass over it, that's fine. But make up your mind. Now, this is going to sound really strange, but she said, you need to make up your mind because this is causing such a trauma for the family as well as for so many other circumstances. If you want to stay, if you want to come back, then come back now. Carol left the room. It was a period of time, very short period of time, like an hour, 2 hours after, something like this, very short period of time. She came out of the coma. She was a total invalid. She couldn't speak. She couldn't do anything. None of the medical personnel believed, because they pulled the plug. She just, you know, they were astonished she was there. She was never supposed to walk again. She was never supposed to talk again. She was a vegetable. The doctor goes to the family, said, this is so bad because you're going to be saddled with this. As a physician, he just thought it was a terrible waste. Within 1 year, that woman was driving an automobile. She was able to talk. She was walking. You'd think, well, she was driving, but she wasn't disabled in any way. She came back, and that whole body, that whole brain, was back at work. Who could explain this?
That's right. That's absolutely right.
And when Carol told us that story, we just said, we didn't think it was that unusual. But she said, my friend Pam had to make a choice.
That's right.
I don't know how many people have experienced comas or anything like this, but I know that when you talk to people, you can do this with children when they're asleep. You can tell them how much you love them, and you can give them all that kind of reinforcement. Their subconscious is picking up that information.
That's one of the things that science has not learned well, is how to monitor the so-called brain dead. And there's many forms of it, and that is still somewhat of a black box in terms of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely agree with you.
And that, I think, too, goes along with what you said just a moment ago, that people will recall everything. And I've heard so many stories like this through the years. I don't think it's unusual at all. I think, to me, what is unusual is when you walk in and you can't say anything, so you try to communicate telepathically.
Yeah,
and you're hoping they'll pick it up.
That's right. And I think as we go through this revolution that I see coming in the 21st century, what had been called paranormal, or freaky, unexplainable events will become commonplace.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to chronicle that with quoting Brian Josephson, a 2001 Nobel Prize winner in physics, that talked about one particular quantum phenomenon, which Einstein called spooky action at a distance. And what Brian Josephson said is this could explain ESP and paranormal events. And, of course, his colleagues very much criticized him. But he's absolutely right, because this phenomena allows things to move at faster than the speed of light, which breaks all the rules. But who made the rules? And who says those rules have to be right forever?
That's correct.
That's right.
And
so
you have that. It's fascinating.
Sorry?
No, I'm sorry. We've got a little bit of a time delay, I think. But, no, I agree with you. I think the rules have been made because of our perceptions and our paradigms at the time that they are made. But when it's time to discard them, we need to let them go. They don't have a place anymore. We have to step beyond.
And the biggest paradigm that I've been lobbying against for 20 years now is the paradigm that our world is made up of things, little subatomic particles that create atoms. Atoms create molecules. Molecules create our brain, and our brains create our minds. And people can't think beyond the box of things. And that's why I quote Richard Henry in my book, who published an essay in the most prestigious scientific journal in the world, Nature, in the year 2005. And he says, you know, the problem with scientists is they think of everything as things. And that's the problem. And that's a misconception. And, when you point in the wrong direction with false beliefs, everything else is wrong and you don't get to the truth. And so what he said, our world is mental and spiritual. And this is a chaired professor at Johns Hopkins University saying this.
Mm-hmm.
So things are changing. Things are changing in the 21st century for the better.
I think it really is, and it's people like you, Dr. Kim, that are really making a difference. Now, we're just about out of time here. Your wonderful book, Healing the Rift, Bridging the Gap Between Science and Spirituality. Leo Kim is my guest. Leo, what is your website that people can go to?
My website is www.healingtherift.com, and they could email me at leo@healingtheriftbook.com, and they also can sign up for my newsletter on the first page. And I've posted over 80 posts that talk about everything from the healing power of the mind to nutrition and many other things.
Well, that's wonderful. So you've got the website, healingtheriftbook.com.
Yes.
Now, and your email is healingtheriftbook.
No, my email is leo at healingtherift. leoathealingthebook.com.
Great. I apologize. I didn't get that correctly. Okay, so it's Leo at healingtheriftbook.com. Well, your book is marvelous. It has been an absolute delight having you as a guest. Thank you so much for being with us today, and I wish you well. And when you come out with your next book, be sure and let me know.
Thank you very much.
This is Donna Seabaugh. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't forget, go to healingtheriftbook.com and then Leo at healingtheriftbook.com, and you'll be able to do that, and you'll find out so much more. Go to his website. Get the book. It is well worth reading. We're breaking the glass ceiling when it comes to ignorance, superstition, and false beliefs. Go for it. This is Donna Seabaugh. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Seabaugh. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Seabaugh accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Seabaugh will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Seabaugh's website, www.DelphiInternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Seabaugh. Hey, telephone lines are open worldwide, toll-free, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, we have a direct line of 530-876-9916. That's 530-876-9916. I wanted to share with you out of Leo Kim's book, Healing the Rift, a quote that he has by Black Elk. The first piece, which is the most important, is that which comes within the souls of people when they realize their relationship, their oneness with the universe and all of its powers, and when they realize that the center of the universe dwells the Great Spirit and that this center is really everywhere. It is within each of us. Black Elk is the gentleman that's quoted here. Wisdom can come from any age, but when we recognize that we are that spark, that cell, a cell of this magnificence that we call life, it empowers us to then do something greater with ourselves than we could have ever conceived. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I look at things and it's like, oh, there's so much going on and there's so much happening. I wonder this. I wonder that. I wonder if I worked harder, if it would make it better. I wonder if I did this, would I be able to achieve that? There are always these questions that are going to be posed in front of us. And if you can just take a moment to realize that where you are right now in the moment that you are experiencing is where you are. And if you take the moment and you're attentive to the moment and you work with the moment, somehow or another things keep moving along. They keep happening. They keep expanding, developing, and growing. All of this and more is available to you when you are able to be present in the moment. Now, I know we all plan and we've all got agendas and we do this and we do that and we do the other. And all of that is fine, well, and good. But if you cannot experience the moment where you are right now as part of this wonderful experience of life, you might be missing out on some special magic. And I wouldn't want you to miss out on that special magic. Not any more than you have to. I know we get sidetracked, we get involved, but remember where you are, who you are, at any moment, any given moment, when you're mindfully present, has a power and has a feeling of actuality that is just phenomenal. So I would just encourage you, again, with Leo Kim's book, Healing the Rift. It's so good to hear from people who are in the scientific modality saying there's so much more than we realize. And it's usually the individual that has gone through their own particular ahas that they say, I can no longer buy into this particular paradigm. I can no longer accept this particular experience. And when you can go there, you come out ahead. You come out ahead because you start questioning and you start being open and receptive to different paradigms, and it makes a difference. It could be a little scary at times, maybe, but it should be more exciting to you because you're on an adventure of self-discovery. Donna Sebo here. If you'd like to call in and chat with me, these are the telephone numbers to call in to, 888-815-9756. I'm delighted, and this is a worldwide toll-free number, 888-815-9756. I'm delighted to share my intuitive talents with you. Also, we have a direct line of 530-876-9916. Now, I'm not sure, but I think I heard a beep, but maybe I didn't. But if I did, if anybody's on the line, please speak up. Nope, I don't think anybody's on the line. I heard a tone, and I thought that that was a telephone line. Well, I want to let you know about the guests that are going to be coming up. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking with Jonathan Goldman. Now, Jonathan is a world-renowned expert when it comes to tonalities, when it comes to music. He's going to be my guest. We're going to be talking about sound healing and using sound in its variables. We'll be playing some little bits and excerpts from Healing Frequencies, which is one of his CDs. Amazing material, absolutely amazing. And so I'm really looking forward to doing this. This broadcast tomorrow is going to be coming from the University of Washington. So I have an opportunity to be there tomorrow, and I'm so looking forward to it. So we're going to be sharing that with you as well. Then on Thursday, we're going to be talking with a psychic housewife. Lorraine Rowe is the lady that we're going to be speaking with, and she is a hoot. She just has so many fun things to share. And then T. Scott Gross. This is a man who has a passion about good customer service. He's got a lot of stories, and we're going to be talking about two of his books. So if you're in business, or if you as a consumer want to be aware of how you can walk the talk of expecting better customer service, well, we're going to be able to approach two sides of the coin on Friday. So I hope that you will join us. This is Donna Sebo. Telephone number to call in to, if you'd like to chat with me directly, is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. That's a toll-free number from anywhere in the world. Now, I wanted to share with you today a story about someone who had walked through their own experiences of life, had not felt particularly happy with the way their life was going, but the results were quite interesting. in the overall scheme of things, as so often they can be when we look back on the past. Now, this is about a 24-year-old. He, at the time, we're talking about a time frame of 1970, and he said he was in Atlanta, Georgia, and didn't end up in a very positive space. He said he ended up on a street called Lucky Street, but it was anything but that. He was a drug addict, wanted by the police. Everything he owned, he could carry in a pillowcase. And he had reached a point in 1970 where he was either going to choose to live with some purpose or he was going to commit suicide. What he did on this one particular day, he sold a pint of his blood for $7. And there was a YMCA on this street that he was on. And he said he landed a job after he registered at the YMCA cleaning bricks. How exciting does that sound? Well, for him, it was a job. He made enough money with that where he was able to move into a boarding house, and he decided that he wanted to live. He did not want to die. But he said, I still wasn't having very much luck on my side. He got into a head-on collision. He had borrowed a car, and now it was totaled, and he was hurt very, very badly. It put him in the hospital for 3 months. And while he was there, he found some inspirational material and started to do a lot of thinking. And the material inspired him quite a bit. And finally, his thinking started turning around. He said that he didn't think he had very much as far as moral stamina, but he managed to forgive himself, and he began to think about some qualities somewhere within him that really were good qualities. Now, it wasn't too long after he left his hospital stay that he ended up meeting a very fine young woman, and she was as opposite to him as anybody could be. They've been married for 38 years now. They have a very nice family. He said, I ended up going from being a drug addict, living in the scum of the street, to becoming a very respectful part of the community and a very successful businessman. In fact, I just sold my software company, he said, the ninth business I founded, for $75 million. He's in his 60s now. His name is Bob Williamson. And he said, I don't believe in coincidences. He said, sometimes we have to grow through weakness. And sometimes the only way we're going to be able to make it in life is to recognize the opportunities that come our way. Being mindfully present. Good words of wisdom. And congratulations, Bob Williamson, on a job well done. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Hey, are you ready for a recipe that is really yummy? Are you a chicken fan? Well, I am. That's one of my favorite meats. How about a roasted red pepper and goat cheese stuffed chicken? Sounds good. Well, why don't you get that pad of paper and pen, and then I will be happy to share it with you. In the interim, I wanted to share just this cute little story, and all of we women could just really relate to this if you have kids, because kids have a way of being honest that sometimes we really don't appreciate very much. There was a four-year-old, and this is from Lori Rhodes in Pinson, Alabama. She said her four-year-old and her were in a department store, and they were just searching and searching and searching for her, for Mom, because Mom wanted to have a bathing suit, and she couldn't find anything. Well, finally she found a black and white one-piece bathing suit that they both liked, and Mom tried it on and modeled it for her daughter, and it was just such a hit. And this sweet little four-year-old looks at her. She's so excited about her mom getting her bathing suit. She said, Mommy, you look so pretty. And she just squealed with excitement. She said, you look just like Shamu the whale. Oh, yes. Oh, those sweet words out of a child's mouth. Oh, don't you just love them? This is Donna Sebo. Hey, here's the recipe for roasted red pepper and goat's cheese stuffed chicken. Now, this is really easy. And if you're in a time crunch and you have the ingredients, or if you want to plan to have something to fix really quickly, then this is absolutely marvelous, and it is so flavorful. Now, what you're going to need 4 4-ounce boneless, skinless chicken breasts. And you just want to make it as simple as possible. You're going to need a cup or one jar of roasted red peppers, finely chopped, and those you can find at any grocery store. You need 1/4 cup of goat cheese, 2 garlic cloves, minced finely, and then you need 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/2 teaspoon of ground black pepper, and then 1 teaspoon of paprika. So let me repeat that. 4 4-ounce boneless, skinless chicken breasts, 1 cup of jarred roasted red peppers, finely chopped, 1/4 cup of goat cheese, 2 garlic cloves minced, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/2 teaspoon of ground black pepper, and 1 teaspoon of paprika. And you want also some cooking spray. This is how simple it is. You preheat your oven to 350 degrees, and then each of the chicken breasts, you want to place them between 2 sheets of plastic wrap, and you want to flatten them. You want to pound them until they're about 1/4 inch thick. And you can use a rolling pin if you have one of those meat tenderizer pieces that you just pound with. I use that for so many things, everything from squashing nuts to whatever. Anyhow, then in a medium bowl, you want to put your roasted bell peppers, your goat cheese, and your garlic, and you want to mix it up. Just take some less than a minute. And you take 3 tablespoons of this mixture on one side of the pounded chicken breast, and then you roll the breast and secure the seam with a toothpick. And you repeat the procedure for the remaining chicken breast. Now, with your salt, pepper, and paprika, you take those, and what you want to do is mix them together, sprinkle it all the sides of the rolled chicken breast with your salt, pepper, and your paprika. And then you coat a medium glass or a metal baking dish with a cooking spray, your favorite kind, and put the chicken in the dish seam side down. And then you want to spray them with a cooking spray, which is just a vegetable oil. You want to do that generously. Or if you like, just get some olive oil and pour it over the chicken breast. You bake it for 30 minutes or until the chicken is done. And then, of course, when you get ready to serve it with your vegetable, your salad, you remove those toothpicks and you can slice each of those chicken breasts into like 5 rounds so that it makes a very attractive placement on the plate and serve it. And you can have a rice pilaf with it, again, a salad, whatever you like. Now, this same recipe, if you wanted to adapt it, you could do a number of things with this. You could take this same recipe, this basic recipe, and you could perhaps if you wanted to have a tomato sauce over, you could do that. If you wanted to put like a mushroom or a celery soup mixture of some kind, you can take this recipe, which is very basic, and you can become very innovative. There are so many different things that you could do, that you could create a different flavor. If you don't particularly like goat cheese, then you can find another cheese of a different texture that would give you another flavor. So there's all kinds of options, and it's just a little bit of imagination, and you can take this recipe that I just gave you that's so simple and adapt it with a number of different flavors and maybe even have some kind of a gravy that you would bake it with. Just remember, if you're going to put any kind of a sauce over it that you want it to bake with, then you can just put a piece of aluminum foil over it, and while it's baking, that 30 minutes, then leave that on and then take the cover off for the last 5 minutes, turn your broiler on, and then you'll have a nice golden color or whatever. If you wanted to sprinkle some cheese on top or something like this, it can make a nice adjustment, a very nice adaptation. But I just thought I would share that with you because it's a very simple recipe. It's really, really easy. And you can use all kinds of different things for stuffing. Like I said, imagination is wonderful, and you can do some great things. And if you're like me, sometimes you don't always have exactly what a recipe calls for in your pantry. So what you do is you make adjustments, and you can have maybe a phenomenal recipe. And people say, ooh, what did you do? I've never tasted anything so delicious. And you go, whoops, I forgot to write it down. I get scolded by my husband so frequently because I forget to write down some of my innovative recipes. He says, this is good. Can you repeat it again? I said, I don't know. Anyway, Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756 or 530-876-9916. Now, I heard another beep. Do we have a caller on the line? I don't know what's going on, but we have gnomes working in our computer equipment today, and they're doing all kinds of funny things. Anyway, Donna Sebo here. Now, I do want to remind you this evening I am going to be on with Monique Chapman on Achieve Radio from 5 until 7 this evening. We're doing a live broadcast, and I am going to be doing readings on the air when I'm with Monique, so I invite you, if you have the opportunity, go to AchieveRadio.com, and you'll be hearing the broadcast there, and people will be able to call in, and we'll be announcing all of that information. Also, I wanted to let you know that on the 26th, I am going to be on Spiritual Hollywood with Katie, and she's right here on BBS Radio, and I'm so delighted that I've been invited to be there. So we are going to be on the air, I believe it's from 6 until 7. So I hope you'll join us here at bbsradio.com so that we'll be able to interact with you, and Katie and I will be having a wonderful, wonderful conversation. So I look forward to talking with you perhaps even on that show as well. Meanwhile, I know we're just about out of time. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Science and spirituality, they're not as far apart as they like to think they are. It's all a matter of understanding, isn't it? Sometimes we have to develop a new level of semantics so that we can communicate more effectively. And I like to think that we're doing that right here and right now, right with this program, The Donna Sebo Show. We'll be here tomorrow, but we'll be broadcasting from the University of Washington, and so we'll be telling you more about that tomorrow. So we'll see you here, same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.